On this episode of DC On Screen, we are talking about Titans Season 3, right after these tastefully chosen words from our mystery sponsors. Welcome into DC On Screen episode 649. On this podcast, we share our honest opinions about the DC Comics multiverse on film and television. If it has been released, it is fair game. So beware of spoilers. I'm David C. Robertson, and this, the man, the dude, taking it easy for all us sinners, Jason Goss.
I'm wearing a robe. I'm just kidding. I'm wearing less than a robe. Come on. I'm kidding. Dear
Lord. But I'm sure you have alcohol on you.
Oh, yeah. It's present.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Not as fun as my diet Sam's Cola. Mm-hmm. Can't even get the real stuff. I got to get the discount, warehouse shit. But
Remind me, though. I'm curious.
Mm-hmm.
Did he use like creamer or actual milk in that movie the whole time?
Oh, in The Big Lebowski?
Yeah. It's been a long time.
I don't remember. I thought it was milk and Kahlua.
Well, it's supposed to be like milk, Kahlua, and vodka is supposed to be the drink.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
But, I've tried this a few times. I've combined
a white Russian for those uninitiated.
I've combined, dairy and alcohol before, and what happens is it curds in the drink.
Mm.
So, like, you have to use non-dairy, I think. And I'm sure many people with more bartending skills than myself can correct me on the matter. But my understanding is that it just kind of like you can literally pour it in. You can make a vodka milk if you wanted to. God forbid. Mm-hmm. And God may not be able to save you if that was all you were going to drink. But if you were going to make that drink, you can kind of watch it curd. So I've been curious in retrospect. Now that it's been brought up, I'm remembering about like, was he using creamer? Because I think that wouldn't have the same issue.
Well, here's the thing. I am an advocate of the white Russian. I have always used whole milk. And perhaps this is a failing on my part, but I've always drank it too quickly for it to curd.
See, I think that's the way to go.
Yeah. I've never used creamer. It's always been whole milk.
Just crack me up. Looking at that movie later, he's just like, okay, he'll pour one and leisurely, have a leisurely drink for the rest of the day. And, not the rest of the day. He'll probably, what do you think he empties?
The scene.
Like
the rest of the scene.
2 hours max that he empties one of those.
Oh, I don't think the dude's doing it that slowly.
You think he's, I don't know if he's pounding them or not, but also pounding dairy is like, I don't know if that's great with alcohol. Just didn't look sustainable when I was thinking about it too much later.
Yeah. I don't know.
Same time, I do fucking love a white Russian. They're delicious. Tastes like chocolate milk with an adult ring to it.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Daddy's chocolate milk.
That's kind of a nice metaphor for Titans, isn't it? Like chocolate milk with an adult ring to it.
Bunch of kids. They're trying to save the world.
Before we get into our review, I would like to remind you that you can go to DCOnScreen.com to find links to our Patreon, where $5 a month gets you access to exclusive content. Last week, I put up a design that Warner Brothers won't let me sell. For you guys to download and do what have you, I don't think they can stop you from just going over to TeePublic yourself and uploading the images and having a shirt made. This week, we'll have a conversation about 1984's Ghostbusters, one of our favorite movies of all time. Oh, absolutely. Leading up to the release of Ghostbusters Afterlife, a movie that Jason and I have been waiting for a very long time.
Yeah.
Like I was just telling my mother-in-law actually about like the I think it was like the first or second thing I did when I got the internet when I was like 13 years old was looked up Ghostbusters 3 news, and I've been riding that train ever since, just waiting for like, man, is Aykroyd ever gonna get to make his third movie? Well, I guess not really, Anyway, we'll talk about that later. Hey. But yeah, thank you to everyone over on Patreon for supporting us. And also there's a donate button for PayPal and a link to our merch store if you'd like to support us in other ways. And that's all over on DCOnScreen.com. If you want to do Patreon, patreon.com/DCOnScreen, or you can just go to DCOnScreen.com. And thank you for all the support. And I guess we can talk about Titans now that I got all the...
All the pitch man stuff out of the way?
The plugging and shit.
Yeah.
So Titans, man.
Mm-hmm. You ready?
Yeah, I guess so.
I mean, look, I think it was their best season.
It was absolutely their best. Yes, I agree. It was their best season.
The first season blew me out of the water because it was a really fresh idea.
Mm-hmm.
Second season, it stumbled here and there a little bit. Wasn't the same in certain ways. Third yeah. season, man, I feel like they really got it together. Did some real shit.
Yeah, I think it was I thought it was a solid season. There were crazy stakes. Man, I hate and love that they killed Hank. I would have loved to have seen him actually get through the rest of that portal. And because Donna and Tim, they came back in their bodies. Like, what the hell would Hank was blown up, man. He's a series of smears on a bunch of rags and a Wayne Manor.
He wouldn't be a smear unless you took that rag and wiped something off the wall to make a smear.
Well, yes, but
you'd have to accumulate.
Hold on. As we saw, though, Superboy did clean that room.
Oh, that is true. I forgot.
So that's what I'm saying. He is a series of smears on a pile of paper towels in a Wayne Manor trash can someplace.
He did not make it. Not in the corporeal realm, at least. That was, if there's one thing I wanted to talk about this season, that mm-hmm. was fucking it. That was an amazing fucking ending to an episode. I thought about that thing I found myself staring at the ceiling at 2 a.m, because I'll typically wake up for an hour for no good reason and just think, unfortunately. And mm-hmm. During that time, I just couldn't stop thinking about the episode. It was a wonderful Joker-esque moment.
Mm-hmm.
The turn on it where she's the one that pulls the trigger. The look on Superboy's and Crypto's faces, just devastating, just fucking devastating. That was gold, platinum fucking level TV.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, man. Anything to make you think about it for as long as I was thinking about it it has to be good in some capacity.
Yo, yeah, that episode was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And for what it's worth, I know I honestly felt like every episode, every week, I was seeing normally trusted, friends say, okay, Titans blew it. They just blew it this week. And I'm like, okay, well, I guess I'll see. And I go and watch it. I'm like, that was fantastic. I don't understand. I don't understand what the problem is. They're like, oh, they jumped the shark. How? When? Okay. It's it's an alien lady and a half alien guy and his alien dog. Where did the shark come in for the
shapeshifter? Was that the issue? I'm confused.
This show came in having already jumped the shark in premise. Or the regular human, who
for some reason, can lead them all and probably take them in a fight. Which part of this was where you thought, suspension of disbelief is just, that bubble's been popped.
Now, I mean, I'm not saying I don't have problems with this season, because there are some problems that I have. Vinny Kartheiser was not one of them. I don't know what he did behind the scenes that got him, in trouble or whatever for being an asshole or creepy or whatever it was they said. But if he's a method actor at all, that explains it, because Scarecrow was creepy as shit.
Yeah. I mean, behind the scenes, I heard he was kind of a dick, but I don't know how much of that was validated or not.
I have no idea.
Can't speak for any of that. I didn't see enough to really say one or the other, but I do know on screen, God damn it, he fucking killed it.
He did. He was great.
That is my favorite Scarecrow of all time right now.
Really?
Yeah, by a very long shot. I mean, especially live, but even BTAS, that guy, he gave him a run for their money.
Well, there was a couple of BTAS guys.
I know. I just mean as a character.
Yeah. Representative character. They did a good job with Scarecrow. I kind of wish we had gone more into his mom, because I felt like they kind of started up something with that, and then it kind of fell away.
Yeah.
But other than that, I kind of feel like it was pretty dope. I liked everything that Scarecrow did. I enjoyed the Red Hood storyline. I thought it was interesting. I liked that they, went ahead and had Joker kill him. Dude, I dug that Batman killed Joker over it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I know there was some tumult over man, this Batman ain't it. He's over here crying. Dude, he just killed the Joker after the Joker killed his son, ostensibly.
His ward.
Yeah, I'm good with Batman shedding a couple of tears.
Yeah, I mean, God, it would be crazy to think he hasn't over the years. He's not, God, it's a crazy thing to think that he just can't have emotions. His emotions are what drive him, and everyone thinks he's supposed to just 100% channel those. That's hard.
Yeah, you know what it reminds me of? Every damn time there is any kind of like fan production of Star Trek, like the person playing Spock always plays him completely cold and emotionless, mm-hmm. and also kind of plays him like he's mentally challenged, like he just doesn't understand context. And I'm like, did you guys not watch anything Leonard Nimoy did? Like, he was half human. Dude had emotions. He was constantly fighting with those emotions. And he absolutely understood, yes, you know, after several years of being on in Starfleet around all these people, he's going to understand emotions.
Yeah. It wasn't that he just couldn't process it. It's that he processed it and had other processes that tamped down what he was seeing.
And like, he had to strive like hell to keep those under wraps.
Because of the half human
thing. To do.
Yeah.
Like, if he didn't have emotions, he wouldn't be dressing up like a bat. He would be... Well, I mean, I hate to make the connection because of, I mean, it's Christian Bale, but he would be Patrick Bateman. He would be a complete sociopath.
Yeah. I mean, for both those characters, like if emotion's what drives you, you have to know that there are going to be some runoffs here and there.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to throw a plate against a wall once in a while. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. So like much the same way everyone always mistakes the fact that, oh yeah, Spock's not supposed to have emotion. I feel like they feel that way about Batman. Like, no, he's supposed to just be like a quiet, emotionless badass. And I'm like, dude, come on. No, that's not it at all. Like,
no, fear itself. He says like fear is, I'm paraphrasing deeply, but like, at some points he said fear is his greatest weapon. And I know because he inspires fear and all that, but he means that fear is what drives him as far as his decision sometimes. Like when he's afraid, when he senses fear, he knows that he needs to pay more attention. Stuff like that. Like, this isn't abandonment of your emotions. This is weaponizing them.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean that they don't, you know, get the upper hand for a few seconds here and there.
Mm-hmm.
You don't just get to put them in your pocket. Fucking, you know, dear God. How many among anyone listening has not fucking cried when they weren't expecting it sometimes?
Oh, yeah. I did it last night.
And if you haven't, I've got a Futurama episode to show you.
Okay, so the afterlife episode, that was one that I heard a lot of people bitching about, and I just didn't understand. I'm like, yes, they're in the afterlife. In the DC universe, there is an afterlife. What do you think you're watching here? This is DC shit.
There's no limbo, afterlife, heaven, hell. Like, every celestial version is out there.
The only thing I had a problem with, honestly, in that episode was I would have loved to have just seen like suddenly like a sliver of reality open and Willoughby Kipling walk out and they're like, what the hell is this? And he's just like, just pass it through, mate.
My bad.
And just
lights another cigarette and goes.
I just, yeah, man. Yeah.
Or just some chimp with, at this point, it's going to be like some chimp with a nice hat and a sword slices through and then, what the fuck was that? And he just slices through and keeps going.
Yeah, yeah. And, oh, dude, I absolutely loved it. Like, this scene, there was a scene where, like, Hank and Donna are talking, and she's like, oh, you're mad about the way you went out? I died at a carnival, Hank.
All right. I had two favorite moments in that episode, and one was that, because that's fucking amazing.
Just hang the lantern on that shitty ending last year.
It was not a good ending for that character. Like, she deserved better, and I'm glad they addressed it.
Yes.
And two... And I know it's a simple thing, but like Hank in this perpetual war with whatever the fuck those things were. I forget the name.
Yeah, I don't remember what they were.
You know, the blue meanies or whatever. I'll just call them that for now.
No, that was Legion.
Oh, I know. That was literally a blue meanies takeoff.
Yeah, it was.
It's same feel for me, no matter how you do it.
Yeah.
And when he finally gets like a baseball bat, he was like, I can work with this. I was like, yeah, buddy. Now this is me and you vibing. I got you. That would be where I was like, no. If I'm going to do this forever, let's do it my way. Give me a fucking bat.
Yeah. Oh, now see, that was, I will take it back. That was my other little point of contention on that episode, because at some point he like accidentally materializes freaking nunchucks. He's like, what the hell are these going to do? And, all right. And that's fine. But
oh, I remember you telling me. Yeah.
Yes. The dude was literally Raphael in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. They should have been Psy. That's all I'm saying. They should have been Psy.
I agree. That would have been a nice point. It would have been. I mean, I'm still trying to figure out how a turtle would hold Psy. It's still weird.
Yeah. Now, I mean, I haven't watched those movies because they didn't look good to me. So there might be.
I have watched part of them, and they're not nearly as bad as people give them credit for.
Fair enough. There might be some joke in there where Raphael, holding, you know, his sigh or whatever, looks at Michelangelo and says, what the hell are you going to do with those? Talking about his nunchucks. And in which case, yay, they got it in there. But I didn't see it, so I don't know.
It's possible.
It's possible.
Yeah, that could be a reference we missed. I kind of hope it is. I hope that's on us, because that would be good.
Me too.
But damn, running around with a baseball bat. Like, and I say baseball bat because like I could hit myself with it occasionally and not just like cut off my shoulder. Like if you gave me a katana, I'd be like, I'll do my best, but I'm gonna damage my leg. Right. Minimally. Like I'll hold it in my arm, so I think the feet are what are gonna be cut off.
Yeah, baseball, I saw
I know what I to do with this, that thing.
I saw this guy, this video. This dude just tries to be such a badass. And he's ripped, I'll give him that. But he's just all about like, yeah, I'm a real man, blah, blah, blah. This is what we do. This is how we do, you know. And he posts these videos on all over the internet. And one of them, he's just like hacking, just like wildly in an undisciplined bullshit fashion, hacking away at a tree, like at a tree limb with an axe. And everyone in the comments, like, I thought it. And then I looked down in the comments and everyone's like, He's going to cut his leg off. Like, look at the way, what he's doing. And then other people are going like, why is he killing this perfectly healthy tree? There's nothing wrong with that limb. Like, he's just doing this to show how badass he is. It was just.
There's a bit of that
sad. It was sad and masturbatory in a way that I just.
I mean, I've cut things down before, but that's because I was like, this needs to go down and I'm going to get some exercise while I'm at it.
Oh, yeah. No, he was doing it because he's like, you know, I'm a real man and I work. Like, that was like part of his narrative, too, is like, my daddy taught me how to work. Like, your daddy taught you how to cut off your leg while trying to chop down a healthy tree? Is that what happened?
Yeah.
Yeah. Dumbass.
Yeah.
Anyway, I quite enjoyed that episode. I really liked Barbara. I kind of wish she had been Batgirl, because it kind of seemed like she was more of a just a wayward thief running around, like trying to keep her dad and Batman on their toes.
A little bit.
But I did enjoy that she was the first, she influenced Dick in the fuck Batman sentiment.
Yeah. Yeah. That was nice. I mean, they had a nice relationship in general.
I liked it.
I mean, after all, it was her who fired that gun. Like, she definitely has his back, literally.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I enjoyed them throughout the season. And, you know, I could say I want more from her and, you know, going forward. But I thought she did a great job. I hope she's a fan favorite of some kind, because I want her to come back and expand that.
Agreed.
They made a lot happen with her this season, and I was excited.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it seemed like they were pushing towards, like, Oracle will change and develop under Argus with her, you know? They did seem like they were moving in that direction.
Yeah. I mean, hell, in the books right now, like, she has her, you know, mobility back. It's just she, at the moment, she's choosing to be Oracle because she can get more done.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, things are changing quickly because of a few other events in the universe, but that's a take that I really enjoyed.
Yeah.
Like, she's just, you know, I know originally it wasn't a thing she sat down to do, but she's just fucking killing it there. So, like, yeah.
That's a poor choice of words. I think it originally was a thing she sat down to do.
I'm not sure if it's a poor or perfect choice of words, but.
I guess it depends
on the. I definitely said a thing, but I didn't make a choice. Can we put it that way?
We can. I give you leeway.
No forethought was given to the phrasing.
But you know, I'm actually, I'm very interested in that book that's coming out. If it hasn't already, it's coming out soon. I've seen the solicitations called Batgirls, and like the is Barbara Gordon and Cassandra Cain and Stephanie Brown. And
oh yeah,
no, they've been dope as shit, dude.
I don't know when that is or isn't coming. I've seen some shots in the back. It's a lot of fun, just because like I've seen a lot of clips of like in the current books, like I was just talking about, like those are the three that, like, man, they're chilling, making some shit happen.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot to play with there. And yeah, they've been a lot of fun in the scenes that I've seen them in so far.
Throw Batwoman in and call it Batvag, you know, I'm good with that too.
I'm not sure if you're familiar with the Comics Code Authority.
I don't think they do that anymore.
I think they would come back for that.
No, back fudge.
I think, what's his name, with that god-awful book, would rise from the grave and say, no, I have more work to do.
I don't know who you're talking about, but I'm enjoying it.
Fucking, it'll hit me like right as we stop recording.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I'm just blanking on names. But yeah.
I mean it as a term of empowerment.
Mm-hmm. I have to look it up now. Jesus. As you were.
Be like the comic book equivalent of those awful period commercials, you know?
Yeah.
Where they show the lady wearing all white and she's constantly like opening her legs and talking about how there's no leaks. And I'm like, ugh. Why?
I don't know what you want. Like, you live with a woman.
I do.
This is like a thing that happens.
I know. But, you know, I don't like watching, you know, commercials about prostates and dicks. Like, you know?
I kind of agree, but I've literally never done that. Trying to
eat chicken enchilada or something, you know, and all of a sudden it's people talking about, you know, bodily fluids.
Mm.
Nah.
Yeah, that part I can get behind. I'm not. Yeah. For someone who deals with them on a daily basis for my job, I don't normally.
Yeah.
I don't enjoy those discussions.
You know, I'm just saying, like, and that includes all the herpes commercials, all of the, you know, all of the medical commercials, try this thing, here's some Valtrex, here's some, you know, just like, and just listing off the all of the horrible things, the side effects, diarrhea, vomiting, you know, pancreatic explosions, you know, I don't need any of that.
Yeah. Let me fill you there. I had to look it up. I'm sorry. Bother me. Uh-huh. Frederick Wortham's Seduction of the Innocent.
Oh, that's what I was talking about. Okay. That. Seduction of the Innocent.
Yeah. That bullshit.
Yeah.
Much like you were discussing with, you know, the diarrhea commercials.
Yeah.
We were clearly on the same topic there for a second.
Like, you can help curb your diabetes. By the way, this will make you explode out of your asshole. Oh, well.
I mean, if that's the deal.
Anyway,
my favorite is the I'm depressed. What can you do to help me? And the doctor response is like, here are the pills that make it impossible to come and you can't lose weight. Perfect.
Well, let me check my reasons for being depressed. Oh, I'm impotent and I'm fat. Huh. But you say I'll be happier.
You won't care as much. Oh, that's at least something.
Yep.
What if I care about my body image and, you know, a regular sex routine? Oof.
Yeah.
I'm out of apathy pills.
Yeah.
Could I suggest increasing the dosage?
Be like Dark Side looking for that anti-apathy equation.
Yeah.
Anyway. That's
called Adderall.
Yeah, that's some good shit until you don't have any more.
That's a whole different kind of anti-apathy.
Yeah, I'm dying.
You are deeply enthusiastic about getting more.
Mm-hmm. It's like medical grade cocaine.
It really is cocaine 2.0. It's stupid. I mean, it works in small doses and all that, and I'm good. Mm-hmm. But like, I'm not trying to indict the entire...
I got a hell of a lot written on Adderall.
Yeah. I'm not trying to indict the entire drug industry, or, well, I should in different ways, but... And definitely not that drug, but there are points. It has its place.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't, unfortunately, keep its place often.
Yeah. So I was pretty good across the board with everybody on the show this year. I didn't have any real problems with any of the actors or anything. I like Blackfire. There were some weird choices.
I like where they landed, or they ended. I mean, sorry.
Yeah. But I have to wonder if anything is going to like stick, because I kept hoping one that they would, it's like they decided to change how they presented the characters, because, the Temerians, mm-hmm. because at the end of season two, the teaser for season three was a disembodied space entity entering the body of the woman who played Blackfire, and we saw she was just a person and she had like a kid, and all of a sudden she was possessed by Blackfire. And then in season three they didn't address that at all, and apparently she just always had that body. That's some bullshit.
I had completely forgotten until you just told me that.
Yeah, That's some bullshit.
A little bit of some bullshit. Yeah, there's no connective tissue there that I can remember. I mean, except that it is kind of an entity that still goes from Blackfyre to her sister. Like, it's still...
The powers did, but it wasn't the consciousness.
Not the consciousness, no. But maybe the argument is that it's not about the consciousness part.
Man, I think they just decided to change it.
And could be.
It was dumb.
I'd really have to go back and look at that.
It really bothered me.
See if there's any like reasoning for it, or if they just went, let's forget about this part. Let's do it another way.
Right. And here's the thing that bothered me, and they never addressed it. All right. One, like Donna comes back from the grave, right? How the hell did she know where Bruce was to save him? Because like the first thing that she does after she wakes up is she goes and saves Bruce in the middle of wherever the hell, Ireland. And he's like set a fire. He's going to kill himself.
Yeah.
And she just knows where he is. She never explains how she knows where he is.
This is really, that was really is one shit. Of the most angsty Bruce we've seen.
Yeah.
I agree.
And I'm fine with that.
A little bit weird, you know, logistically, that she would know.
I mean,
I don't think I have an explanation for that either.
Never explained it. And I'm not one of these guys that needs them to hold my hand through every little thing, but that was weird, and I needed them to tell me why.
I agree. I always, in shows that are continuing, I always hold out hope that, like, those little loose threads are going to build to something that we can deal with later.
Mm-hmm.
Like, maybe the, you know, the unembodied consciousness you're talking about is actually what's going to get Starfire back to her, like, full capacities instead of anything else. And, you know, maybe Donna was brought back to specifically go to where she needed to be to, like, save someone who could do more good. Not than her. I think she can do more good than Bruce in this version of the universe, at least. But
yeah, let Bruce go, dude.
He's got a lot of good to do, but he's on the back end of his career in this version. And I think the best thing he can do at this point is set an example. So I clearly got some fight in him still. Don't get him wrong. But yeah, like maybe it's something like that. I don't know. I come up with a scenario, but those kinds of things you hope they show up somewhere else.
Yeah. I mean, my best guess at this point is, well, that teaser for season 3 happened pre-crisis.
Yeah.
And now season 3 happened post-crisis. So she just always looked like that. She didn't possess any lady.
Yeah. There's a lot of that kind of stuff that I would be like, man, fucking killed it tying that in. Good job, guys.
Okay. With Titans, though, there's been a narrative of viewers complaining that they didn't stick the landing.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I'll mention this here is our buddy Stu Little says, I think it stuck the landing. And he says that, like people who say stuck the landing is an asshole, albeit by being super safe after a turbulent season, which maybe says that to me, sticking the landing isn't quite as important as people make it out to be. I have to say, Stu, one, I don't think they stuck the landing. And two, you said they did it by being super safe. That sounds to me like you don't think they stuck the landing either, even though you said you thought they stuck the landing.
It's a little contradictory. I mean, I think they did stick the landing more than they have so far.
I think they did more than they have so far.
Well, I should give it some extra room and enough for me.
Oh, enough for you?
Yeah.
I mean, it was enough for me because, like, that last episode or two, I feel like I was just ready for it to be over.
I was in.
Like, once they got to fear toxin all over the place and everybody just basically being a bunch of asshole zombies, I was just like, okay.
I can feel you there.
It was a little, and then like let's have like the prayer over the Lazarus pit thing. And I'm like, all right. Nah. And I thought for sure when she made it rain, put Lazarus pit on all those dead people. Like I thought for sure they were just going to get up and be even like still enraged zombies because of, you know, the bloodlust that the Lazarus pit, you know, has in every iteration. But no.
I mean, it does happen it does happen in pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I don't think we've ever seen those powers combined to actually, you know, disseminate all that.
Right. Maybe it was the lasso of truth or something that curbed its rage property. I don't know.
Maybe just a few drops of it just means that you're like slightly shorter and more petty with customer service. Like customer service representatives or some shit.
Right.
Like on the phone on hold, you're like, God damn it. And earlier you'd have been like, oh, this is slightly annoying.
Now look, this might be on me because I might have faded out a little bit. But to me, when like Rachel absorbs the Lazarus pit and then like shoots it into the air and then it's not working. And then like Donna just like throws up the lasso. And I told my wife, I was like, how the hell long is that lasso, by the way? I know magic.
As long as needed. Yeah, that
it's
part.
It's magic. I know.
That part you got to roll with.
Out of all the things I bitched about in 1984, I didn't bitch about her riding the lightning with her lasso.
No, that's, yeah.
That's, it's stupid as shit, but it's fun. It's magic.
I'm glad you have limits.
Sure. Like, I try to keep an open mind.
Yeah.
But like, I was also sitting there going like, this is like when I was a kid and I would just like take a bunch of mud and throw it into a bucket with water and then just start adding random shit from around the yard to see if it like I would stir it up and see if that made the spoon dissolve, you know, like,
hold on. You cannot compare several unique magical powers, actual magical powers, to you trying to do like Alabama alchemy in a bucket.
But that's what it seemed like. Oh, it's just like a bunch of titans, people with superheroes. Like, all right, well, I'm gonna take my demon powers and shoot this shit up in the air. Let's see what happens.
That's like I'm gonna use this supercomputer, and you're like, cool. So my calculator says, like, no. That's very different. That one's a hadron collider, and the other one's like you with a tablet.
Right. Like, well, let's see what happens if we throw a rope in the air. It works.
Wouldn't you try it?
I mean, I guess. But, I mean, I'm over here throwing, you know, freaking old walnuts into a bucket thinking it's going to dissolve a spoon. What are you? I'm just saying it was a little fuzzy what the hell they thought they were doing.
No, there wasn't like a set of equations happening.
No, there definitely weren't.
There's a series of magical combinations, and we're like, cool, they got it. Yeah, it's Deus Ex Machina at its best, man. I mean, come on.
Yeah. It was rough. That part was rough for me. I didn't, like, a lot of people were like, it just took one video from Scarecrow to turn everybody against Nightwing and the Titans. I'm like, no. He was pumping the water with toxins. Everybody was on they were altered. They were altered. I wish we had that excuse for anti-vaxxers.
Is this not the same, like, mechanism that was in, like, Batman Begins that we were okay with?
I know.
Shit and water. Bad speech equals crazy. And yes, let's face it, anyone who hasn't tried this, I don't implore you to do so, but ask a friend who has. Uh-huh. Have you ever tried hallucinogens? All right, well, combine those with a bad evening, and what you get is fucked up shit. Period.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, very few people have the mental dexterity to actually like go through something really fucked up while they're on real hallucinogens, like just a lot of them, and actually get out of that experience with, you know, a good experience. So
right.
If you think that you would just survive this somehow because like, oh my God, I heard a speech and all I did was like take this hallucinogenic thing that was supposed to specifically induce fear, I would be fine. I'm going to cook rice tomorrow or this evening. I mean, no, bro, no. I mean, and that's, you know, a perspective real world scenario. Like, this is just fucking, it's fake. It's fine. Like, are you kidding?
Yeah.
This works for a story. You're good.
I mean, look, we have real people on Twitter right now, really just high off of their own bullshit, saying that, you know, Batman spends all of his money punching poor people. So, of course, you know, I don't think it's necessarily unrealistic for a bunch of people in Gotham. And as far as I could tell, about 25 people in Gotham, you know, just walking around looking for a guy in a costume to beat up.
Yeah. Also, he punches a lot of rich people, too.
He does. A lot of them have it coming.
A lot of them have a lot of resources. I assume they have money. Penguin specifically.
Yeah. I know. I was about to say it's Penguin. And look, man, you know, freaking Joker ain't no poor person. He's just an asshole.
No, he just steals a lot of money and rolls with it until he burns that. Yeah. You know, get some more.
Yeah. Anyway.
It's one of my favorite moments from The Dark Knight, though, is when he like rolls into the the meeting with everybody else and just kind of takes over. Like, that's the kind of thing that I was like, that's the moment where I was like, this is the Joker. They got this right now.
Yeah.
Because
they did a lot right.
That is the kind of thing he would do. Take over the entire meeting, say, I want a percentage of your income, and it, you know, I'll do something more fucked up if I don't get it. But yeah, they've got that right. Like, of course he's a fucking mob king. Like, you would just be worried about him coming out of the fucking shadows and killing your family.
Yeah. I mean, I think personally,
and leaving you for last, for God's sake. Like, it he would terrify me.
I do love that. Yeah, I do. I think I do love that scene in The Dark Knight where he just strolls in and kind of strong arms everybody.
Yeah.
I think I prefer the 1989 version where he's basically just taken charge of all of Boss Grissom's shit after he killed Grissom. Mm. And he's got like all the different mob bosses sitting around and he's like strong arming them, you know? Mm. And the guy's like, what if we say no? Well, Tony. Nobody wants a war. We'll just shake hands and that'll be it. Yeah.
Yeah.
He shakes his hand and just like burns the dude alive.
Yeah.
It just like looks like Antoine got a little hot under the collar.
Yeah.
He's just like howling with laughter and everyone's just like looking at him like he's sick. And he's like, haven't you ever heard of the healing power of laughter? Oh man, I want to watch that movie again.
Good goddamn scene too. Yeah.
Yeah. What did you think about the Argus reveal in GCPD?
Oh, I don't know where that'll lead.
I don't either. I have a weird feeling that it's not going to lead anywhere. It's Titans. Like, I kind of feel like, well, nothing
ever
matters.
Hold on. You can't have it both ways. It might, might lead to somewhere. They did some stuff this season that it might pay off, and I hope for more, but
yeah.
I don't know. I get your skepticism though.
Yeah. Sure. I mean, it seemed fairly wrapped. It just like, oh, okay, that's how they got Barbara out of prison for murdering that guy. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Cool.
I do get that. I do get that though.
I'm just sitting here hoping that Dawn and Donna come back next season, and I don't know what to think next. I don't know.
Tim Drake, though.
I liked him.
I liked him a lot.
He was an interesting take on his character, too.
Agreed. Damn near cried in the last episode when he was asked to get on that RV.
Yep.
That actually got emotions out of me. That was good.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I really liked about how they did his character this year, he's mm-hmm. not even might. He's the best of them. Like, he is the most genuine soul on the entire fucking RV right now.
Yeah.
Sure. Dick needs to, you know, teach him how to fight. And that's mm-hmm. please do that, for God's sake. But as far as, like, who's the moral compass? That dude.
Mm-hmm.
100%. If he says you're doing something wrong, fucking listen.
Well, him and Crypto.
Oh, Crypto. Sorry. I forgot. Crypto is always the moral compass. That is, after all, a white lab. Always do what they say.
Yeah.
Unless they're going to kill a duck.
A duck?
Yeah. Can't trust them with ducks.
Okay. That's good. I thought you said something else, and that wouldn't have been cool.
A dick?
No.
I'm a little lost, but we don't have to worry about it.
It's all right, man. I'm sure someone heard it the way I did. I'm glad for the clarification. It's like, what has happened to you, Jason?
Honestly, I don't know what you... It'll occur to me at like 3 in the morning tonight. But I meant quack, quack.
Right, yeah. Right. You're going to wake up and go, oh, God.
I very there well it might. Is. Yeah.
But what else? You got anything else, man? I thought Rachel, I enjoyed seeing her really in charge of her powers and shit this season.
Yeah, that was another huge highlight for me. Her just actually getting to stretch her legs a little bit was a lot of fun. And God, as much as I can mention how much I fucking love that Scarecrow version.
Mm-hmm.
I loved the uptake, the slow play, the slow burn or whatever. Mm-hmm. Fuck, I loved his, it just wanting to smoke while he's in prison. God, I would too. Are you fucking kidding me?
That was all really fun. Yeah.
That was all great. The actor himself, fucking God, creepy as fuck. it could be a real life thing too, but I don't know. That was a lot of fun, and I enjoyed the shit out of the entire series as far as his progression. Like, yeah, he gets more powerful, all this stuff in the Wayne Mansion, actually takes it over. That was sweet. But my favorite part of his entire arc was going to be when Raven just puts it fucking to him.
Oh, yeah.
Like the, it, my Nightwing favorite tells Scarecrow him, like, story. No. This isn't, that doesn't end this way for you this time. And then Raven comes in and just, like, fucking goes full power mode on him. Oh, I fucking loved that scene.
Yeah. Like, I always enjoy an ending for Scarecrow where he's just
scared.
Cell at Arkham, hell? Like, freaking out.
Yes. It's karmatically the best thing.
It feels good, man.
It does. I mean,
it's like three episodes of Ted Lasso in a row, man.
But the opposite. For him.
For different reasons, yeah.
It's his negative world fucking Ted Lasso. Yeah, I get that. Like, it's a fitting ending. Dick got to actually come in and strong arm the situation as far as, like, no, dude. It was a good bookend for their character arc that season.
Yeah.
And then Raven just gets to come in and just fucking Raven the fuck out of that thing. And this is, like, in the last few episodes of that season, for such a powerful fucking character, I felt like they finally kind of let her off the leash a little bit. I was really happy about it.
Yeah.
I don't know what that thing was going into his mouth, but I don't even have to have the memories it implanted to have been screaming like that for the next 45 years.
Yeah.
That alone would be traumatic enough that I would never recover, short of the, you know, mental punishment.
But mm-hmm.
Then she walks away all fucking red-eyed. I was so excited about that.
Yeah, that was badass, dude. I dug that. So, well, like, yeah, I don't think they stuck the landing quite as well as I would have liked for them to have, but I feel like they did it better than they did previously, and I was still, you know, pretty satisfied with it.
I was really happy. Also, just last sidebar, I loved the RV idea at the end. It was cute as hell.
It was cute, but I had the same reaction that that Coriander had.
44
hours. 44 hours. Yeah. God. Can't we take the jet? Come on, man.
I get it. Part of me was like, where is everybody going to sleep? But, dude, they're smaller and worse. You know, bands have carried, or buses have carried bands for a very long time, and they'll be all right.
Oh, yeah, man. Oh, yeah. No, I was literally feeling like I was having panic attacks reading Dave Grohl talk about, like, the van that he toured around in with Scream in. Like, oh, God. Just, that is terrible.
Oh, it's bad. Yeah, I mean, fuck. Like, the Beatles used to literally, like, sleep on each other in the amps for warmth in the back. At one point, while the windshield wipers didn't work in, like, the cold German fucking winter.
You say it like that, it just kind of sounds cute.
These are bonding experiences.
That's, of course, I'm imagining them all in their, like, little, like, Ed Sullivan Show get up with their suits and ties.
No, just four blokes in the back of the van shivering. That's all. Fucking cold as shit.
I know.
Probably had to piss and we're trying not to.
All right. You got anything else, man? You got anything weighing on your heart?
I think the last thing was Connor overall this season was pretty sweet. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I liked it. I liked him. I liked
their relationship.
I liked his relationship with Blackfire for sure.
I hope he gets that nitrogen fucking filter thing. I'm looking forward.
Of course. My one solace was that, you know, Connor didn't know that she had possessed some lady in season two.
Well, there's that. I also kind of like that he actually blew up the fucking ship just to keep her there for a second and had to cope with it.
Yeah, I liked that sentiment, but then I also hated that he's like, oh, yeah, I just memorized it. We can make it out of spare parts.
No, what? That's why I liked it, is because it wasn't like he was making a permanent decision. He was just kind of acting out a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine.
He's troubled.
That's fine, but I hated that they could just recreate an alien spacecraft from some bullshit laying around in that lab.
I don't know. We haven't spoken of him, but that scientist looks pretty capable, and that's a half a Luther you got on your side.
I mean, that's true.
I think they got it.
Yeah, it just seems a little much for me. But, you know, I'm watching a show full of aliens and superheroes. I shouldn't pick it too much.
Yeah.
I mean, I would like a little more credibility, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, of course. At times.
I was mostly okay with what I got. Me too. As I have been since day one on Titans, I'm like, I look forward to every episode.
The thing that thing cracked me up the most, though, was like the episode before the last one. I watched it, fully believed it was the last one for a second because I looked at a couple apps and TV time even betrayed me here. And I genuinely thought like, oh, was that it? And given the last two seasons, thought, well, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And then found out there was another one and watched it and was like, oh, okay, cool, cool, cool. So I wish they just had one of these kinds of episodes after the first two seasons. But
Yeah, I still think it was mostly solid. There's just, I don't know, there's a couple of things in there. I'd be like, I don't know what that means. I don't know why they would just not, why they would just ignore that.
Naturally.
It's post-credits. It's not canon. What? Come on now.
It was in there, right? Yeah, it's canon. Deal with it. You make amends or you accept that you made a change, period. Those are your two choices.
It's a pre-crisis.
Mm-hmm. We'll say that and we're good. But other than that, I have questions.
All right. That's all I've got. You got anything else?
This time I do not.
Okay. Thank you guys so much for listening to DC On Screen. We are DC On Screen, by the way. If you were confused at all to what you've been listening to. Like I said, dconscreen.com for every episode and all those links to the Patreon and all those other things. I tweet at David C. Robertson. Jason tweets at DuckDuckGoss. And I will take credit for that name because I came up with it.
That was him. Thought it was good. Been rolling with it for a while now.
Yes. Give me all the praise. Mm-hmm. It fuels me. It makes my pee-pee 3% harder. And hopefully we'll be back next week because by then we will have some news to really talk about. So until then, keep some DC on your screen. Our intro music is by Jason Goss and Michael Shackelford. Michael's band, Galactic Engineers of Magnetic Sounds, or GEMS, can be found on SoundCloud and Bandcamp. Visit dconscreen.com to find our Patreon, merch, contact information, and every episode of the show for free, including crossovers we've done with other podcasts. DC On Screen is a maladjusted production. For more from me and Jason, including sketch comedy, vlogs, parodies, and our improvised web series Hey Guy, visit maladjusted.tv.